Mark chapter 1, once again, please, I'll be reading from verses 21 through 34. This is Mark's account of the same account we had in the Gospel of Luke. Tonight we'll be mainly focusing on the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits to obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Let's pray. Father, tonight we look to you and desire to hear from you. We desire to see our Savior in all his glory tonight, Father, in your word. And we do thank you for the word of God. And we just pray that you'd be glorified and that you'd be with us tonight in a special way by your Spirit. Father, we would see Jesus. We would see his compassion and his mercy for sinners. Father, help us tonight now. We pray that you'd bless. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you might remember, if you're as old as me, and some of you found out how old I am today, but back in the old days, when people were sick, oftentimes they would call for the doctor, and the doctor would actually come to your house. Well, that dates me a bit, right? But the doctor would come to your house, and he'd come with his little black bag. I can picture that in my mind right now, the doctor getting out of his car with his little black bag. And he would come, and He would do his best to make you better. He would come and take your temperature and diagnose you, look down your throat, and sometimes give a shot. But he would do his best and to treat you as best he could. And oftentimes you get better. But today it's different. It's a lot less personal, I think, today than it was back then. Medicine in general and doctors and things. Today you go to the doctor's office, right? You go there. He doesn't come to you. You go there. And then you go into your office, and what do? Well, so a lot of times you fill out papers first. And then you wait, right? Then you wait. And then the next step is you get to go into the inside part of the office, and you go to the examining room. And then you wait again. Wait some more. And then a nurse comes in, and she takes your temperature and vital signs. And so you can see it's a little less personal right there. I mean, a little less actual interaction with the doctor. Eventually, the doctor does come in and gives you your examination, tries to diagnose you. But it's definitely a lot less personal than a doctor coming to your house and being at your bedside when you were sick. Sometimes you have to go into the hospital, and that's another story altogether. Because then sometimes, you know, the doctors will have to naturally have to come into your room to see you when you're sick. Sometimes you have to wait a long time for that as well. And but they eventually do come in usually. But sometimes when you're really sick, you find out the doctors just kind of stuck their head in the door and looked in and then leave, you know. A lot less personal than we would like. And they never forget to send the bill, even if they just stick their head in. But that's not like the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the section of scripture we're going to focus on is the Lord Jesus Christ and his first healing miracle. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ did other miracles, but this was his first one where he healed. And we can definitely see, if we see nothing else, the personal nature of this miracle, of this healing by the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the great physician. He's the one that Malachi tells us, the Son of Righteousness, who raises with healing in his wings. He's the promised Messiah. And he is a very personal physician. It's not like the doctors of our day and the medical treatment of our day. But he's full. He's full of personal concern and love for his patients and compassion and sympathy. A lot more than we would get from doctors today. Basic outline for tonight will be two main points. We'll look at just briefly at some concerns about miracles and signs, what they are, and the Lord Jesus in particular, in his miracles, and this miracle here in particular. Secondly, we'll look at this small section here on the healing of Peter's mother-in-law is recorded in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to look at the three accounts and how they differ and how they're similar. And it gives you, look in how it gives such a full picture. As Pastor Mark was speaking this morning, how when we compare the events in the Gospels, we get a full picture of what's taking place. And there's some good lessons there. Finally, we'll look at some applications, some points of application from this section, particularly, again, focusing on this first miracle of our Lord in healing Peter's first miracle of healing Peter's mother-in-law. So first, let's look at the scene we have here in this first miracle of healing that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Again, his miracles were not just miracles. He never went around advertising that he was going to be performing miracles or even saying, come, bring the sick to me. They came to him. He didn't have to advertise. The people came to him. And the Lord Jesus never turned any away who came to him for whatever they came, for healing, for driving out of demons, for anything that he could do for them. He never turned any away. But his miracles were signs. They were demonstration to demonstrate his power and authority. And we're never meant to focus, as Pastor Mark was bringing out this morning, focus so much on these miracles, on the signs themselves. And just that, that's what, again, that evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But if that's all, then we're no better off than we came to them. We have the Word of God that gives us the miracles, but we're to see beyond them and see what the great goodness and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were pictures. They were emblems of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do spiritually, most importantly spiritually, because he's not on the earth today. He's not raising the dead. He's not making the withered hand grow anymore or giving eyesight to dead eyes or these mighty miracles that he did. But they were pictures and emblems of the miracle that's the greatest miracle of salvation that's taking place today by the great physician who heals the sin-sick soul. And that's our greatest disease. It's our greatest need we have is to be healed spiritually because we're sin-sick sinners. With the sickness of sin is complete. We're totally depraved in our sinful nature. in our nature spiritually dead, and we need to be healed by the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did do these miracles. These were real. And miracles in the Bible, as one pastor brought out, Jeff Thomas brought out as he preached on this section, miracles were not that common in Scripture. We may think differently, but just think for a minute of how many miracles the claim is today that miracles are being done all the time. The Roman Catholic Church has great exalted claims for miracles all the time. All the saints have supposedly done miracles. All these pictures of Mary and these things that come to be, people going, flocking to see these pictures of Christ and touching these claws and seeing whether the tear dropped off the statue or the blood came forth. All these things supposedly being miracles. And yet they're just deception and foolishness. But in the Bible, we had very few miracles considering the course of biblical history. You have to go back to Moses and Aaron and Joshua to see the miracles there performed in Egypt. And then it was many, many years until, again, the Lord came in Elijah and Elisha and performed miracles. Many years in between, there were no miracles. And Moses and then the prophets, Elijah and Elisha, there were miracles again. But then many, many, many years pass again before the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene. And again, there's this flood of miracles by the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're signs. They're signs and one is pointing to him, pointing to his greater work. The Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles performed these miracles, but they were not so that people would focus on them. Again, a evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs. The people in those days who the Lord was not opening their eyes, their blind eyes, were focusing again on being drawn to the miracles, but not to Christ. And that's the danger, is that we focus on those things. Miracles and wonders. And we saw the other day, we went to the diner and there was a poster on the thing. Come to somebody's church to see Bishop so-and-so and have a miracle. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, he didn't have to advertise. But when he was on earth, people were drawn to him. And they were drawn to him for his compassion and mercy for sinners. We must see Christ through the miracles, in the miracles, and be drawn to him. And again, see the importance of these miracles as signs, as picturing the greater work that Christ would be doing to heal the blind eyes, make them see. We're blind spiritually. Christ is the only one who can remove those blinders from our eyes, that spiritual blindness. Remove those and give us true eyesight to see him in his glory, be drawn to him. He's the only one who can unstop the deaf ears. There are sinners who sit in church week after week and never really hear the word of God. There may be some tonight. There are some tonight who are sitting here and not really hearing the word of God for themselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ can open the ears, the deaf ears of sinners. He can raise us up spiritually from the dead. Scripture tells us that we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one who has the power and authority to speak a word and to raise us from our dead sin state and sin, to bring us to new life. Again, the new birth, regeneration, is the greatest miracle of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done, pictured in his resurrection. We need to see his compassion and be drawn to him as sinners, drawn to him to come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he said. And as he never turned anyone away, even in the evening, even after an exhausting day, an amazingly long and exhausting Sabbath day for the Lord Jesus Christ, they flocked to his door, the many, it said, and at evening the sun set, and they brought to him all who were sick, and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city gathered together at his door. And you imagine the crowd pressing in on him, and yet he never turned any away. He never turned any away for that physical healing or that driving out of the demons, and it's the same way today. He never turns any sinner away who truly comes to him. If you see a need of him, he said he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's not the well that need, need him, but those who see themselves as sick, those who are the ones who need this great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. He never turns any away. He's the same. He is also able to save to the utmost. That means completely and forever all who come to God by him. Think of the all. Think of the many that he never turned away who came to him for the physical healing. And think today of your need of him for spiritual healing. You're sin sick if you're apart from Christ. Now, as promised, we see in the first three Gospels this miracle, this healing miracle by the Lord Jesus Christ recorded for us in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. And we get a full picture again of what took place there. And as God moved men, holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit to write just the words that he wanted them to write. And so Matthew wrote just the words that God wanted him to write through his own personality, through his own eyes, eyewitness. He wrote those words. Same thing with Mark. You can see Mark, hear Mark's personality and his view of things. And Luke, the physician, he was a doctor himself. You can see that in his account. And each one gives us gives us a full picture of this account. I'll just read from Matthew's account. When Jesus came into Peter's house, and Simon and Peter were one and the same, Jesus changed his name to Peter. To Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law laying sick in bed with a fever, and he touched her hand. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on them. So here we see the emphasis that Matthew gives of the touching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same story, the same picture of Lord Jesus coming into Peter's house, Peter and his brother Andrew's home, and the Lord Jesus Christ showing compassion. But he does it with a touch, Matthew brings out. And that's typical of Matthew. Often he brings out the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ actually touched sinners. He put his hands on them to heal. He didn't have to. He could heal from a distance. He could heal through other means or with a word. But here he touched her. He touched her with his hand. And as he did in Matthew 8:3, it says he put out his hand and touched the leper. Touched this unclean leper and healed him. He put his hands on this man's body and healed him. And again in Matthew 9:29, he touched the blind man's eyes. He put his fingers on their eyes. That's the compassion and sympathy and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to touch sinners with his very hands, and still the same compassionate, merciful Savior today who will touch sinners, touch them by his Spirit. So we see that picture common, the common themes. Again, in Mark's account, it says, and now soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the home of Simon and Andrew with James and John, the four there, along with Simon's wife, mother. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. In Matthew's account, it says she was laying sick in bed with a fever. So the picture there of being in bed with a fever. And then in Luke's account, we're told that she was suffering from a high fever. There's Luke, the physician. Luke, the doctor. He looked at it from his perspective. He said she was suffering with a high fever. He being a physician, knew that this was no ordinary 101.2 fever. This was a high fever. This was a life-threatening fever that caused her much suffering. So Luke adds that to get that point of view. And again, in Matthew's account, they said he touched her. Jesus was there and he touched her and the fever left her. In Mark's account, it says again that she was lying there with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her. And in Luke's account, it says, and they asked him, and he helped her. You see there that the Lord Jesus Christ, they did what was right. They brought her to Jesus. They spoke to her, to him about her. It says in Mark, it says that they told him about her. And in Luke's account, it says they asked him to help her. They brought her to Jesus. They brought her to the great physician. She needed help, and they did what was right. They brought her to him. And again, the cure was immediate. This was a miracle. This is no slow healing that a doctor might give us today, and he might look at it and take our temperature, see we have a fever, prescribe a medicine, an antibiotic, and little by little the fever goes away, or maybe in a nighttime. This is an instantaneous healing. The fever was rebuked, and she was raised, lifted up, and well, perfectly well, so well that she had strength, immediate strength, to get up and to serve them. So this was definitely a miracle. And again, in Luke's account, immediately she got up. And they all three accounts say that she waited on them. She had enough strength from this miraculous healing to wait, actually get up and serve them, to wait on them. And that's such a beautiful picture of what we as sinners who've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ want to do. We want to serve. We want to serve the one who's made us better. So again, we get such a full and beautiful picture of this miracle, this first healing miracle, by looking at all three pictures. All three, the same account, but different, described differently, and yet bringing out beautifully, making up the whole picture. And again, we see such a complete healing, an amazingly complete healing in by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke's account, we're told that he rebuked the fever. It's the same Greek word that Luke uses when he describes the Lord Jesus Christ rebuking the winds and the waves in that account when we're out on the Sea of Galilee. He rebuked them. What power and authority is displayed by the Lord Jesus Christ? But even maybe more importantly to this account is the compassion, the tender, personal compassion displayed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But this story for us is not to be, again, marveled at as a great miracle, and we're to stand here and admire and wonder at the Lord Jesus Christ and the great thing that he did. But we're to see it as personally applying applicable to us. This has to be a word for us, for you tonight, here, we're sitting here, whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ in truth and can be comforted by his sympathy and his care for us, and the fact that we can come to him with anything, or if you're here tonight completely apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and in need of that true healing from your sin sickness, the Lord Jesus Christ, this account has a word for you. First of all, we should see, and as we apply this just again, the personal care of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ drove the demon out of this man in the synagogue, he was in the public eye. He was in the spotlight. There were many there who saw it and were amazed at his power and his authority and his teaching. But here, nobody saw it. It was an intimate setting. It was just the Lord Jesus and those who were there, Peter and James and Andrew and James and John and the mother-in-law and possibly the wife as well, Peter's wife as well. But it was a more intimate setting, an individual healing. And that's an important for us to see, that the Lord Jesus Christ does not deal, although he does save a multitude that no man can number. It's not very much comfort to us to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of a multitude from every tribe, tongue, and nation, an innumerable multitude. But it's more important, and it's so important for us to see his personal care and his personal concern for each one of his sheep, for each one of us. And that's highlighted here. The Lord Jesus Christ touched this woman, and it's a personal and individual healing. The Lord Jesus Christ cares about each one of his sheep, each one of us who know him. And we can come to him with all our needs. And the touch that's highlighted so much in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, that the same Lord Jesus who touched this woman physically is sympathetic and compassionate and touches us as well. He touches us to heal our souls, to heal our broken hearts, to heal the troubled conscience and the anxious mind. That same Lord Jesus cares and does as we come to Him. As we come to Him, as we bring our loved ones to Him, He's the same compassionate Christ that will touch us. And He's concerned about us individually and touches us. In Isaiah, in the Gospel of Isaiah, some would call it the Gospel of Isaiah, in chapter 53, in verse 4, it says, "Surely, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God, for He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." The Lord Jesus Christ has borne our griefs and sorrows, and He does have compassion, and He is willing, more than willing, to touch us, to heal us in the sense of our when we bring Him our sorrows and our griefs, and no matter what they are. Next, we see an amazing day in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a Sabbath day, a Lord's day, a Sabbath day, the Jewish Sabbath, from sunrise to sundown to sundown. And what a full day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the casting out of the unclean spirit in the synagogue, and then the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And then at evening, it says, as the sun set, He wasn't finished yet. He had more work to do. But He, as exhausted as He must have been, being a man like us, being a man who felt pain and got tired, fully man, yet fully God, in evening He had enough strength, driven, I'm sure, by His love and compassion, to continue on the work, even in the Sabbath evening. And He healed. He did good. We're told that the Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. That's a picture of His ministry. He went about doing good. That's all He did, was to do good to sinners, to heal, to cast out demons, to save sinners in their sin. He went about doing good. And that's an example for us that we need to consider, not only on the Lord's Day, but most surely on the Lord's Day, giving the whole day to Him, of doing good to others, of doing good to our own souls by being under the Word of God and doing good to others. It's a day to display mercy and compassion to sinners, bringing them to church, seeking to fellowship with them, to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. A good example to follow. Next, we see an example in the type of healing and the person who was healed. We see that it was Peter's mother-in-law who was healed. Now, what does that mean? Peter's mother-in-law, it means that Peter must have had a wife. It means that Peter was married. And here, despite of what the Roman Catholic Church would teach about marriage is honorable and good and right, even for ministers of the gospel. We see that marriage in Scripture is exalted and is good and godly, a godly thing to do, even for ministers of the gospel. It's the doctrine of demons, it says in Timothy, the doctrine of demons that forbids to marry. Marriage is held in high esteem in the Scriptures and not to be forbid under any circumstances. To forbid it is unscriptural. It's the doctrine of demons, even though it's been the long-time doctrine of the Church of Rome. Marriage is honorable in all things. And Lord Jesus ministered in this home of Peter and Andrew. It was probably a small and humble home, considering the number of people that were there, considering the occupation of those who owned it, fishermen, poor fishermen. And yet, what made it a blessed home? What made that home a blessed, no matter how poor and humble it was? It was the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was in that home. That's what makes a home a happy home, a blessed home, is the Lord Jesus Christ being there. And so marriage and home ownership are not forbidden. There's no great godliness in being single or not owning property. But the example there we have is that these godly men, these apostles, these Peter and Andrew. Well, now Peter was not only married, but he had a home and used it for the glory of God. But it's what makes a home glorious, what makes a home sweet, and is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ there. That's what makes it blessed. Next, we should follow the example of Peter and those who were there. They told Jesus. They brought the sick mother-in-law to Jesus. They told him. They asked him to heal her. They brought her to Jesus. And that's an example for us as well. We need, in prayer especially, but not exclusively, to bring our loved ones, our children, our relatives, in-laws, parents, whomever, aunts, uncles, we need to bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Him. Cry out for mercy to the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. We need to pray for them. We need to witness to them about the mercy and compassion and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to bring them to church to get them here under the preaching of the Word, no matter what it takes. And that's an example to follow from the example here in this story. And again, the power and the glory seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, the willingness to heal sin-sick sinners, and the faithfulness of those that were there to bring them to Jesus. The Lord Jesus, again, never turned away any sinners. He never turned away sinners who truly came to Him back then or today. And if you're here tonight, you need to be healed of your sin sickness. It's the greatest sickness. It's worse than cancer. It's worse than AIDS. It's worse than any other sickness, physical sickness that you could have, that you could be diagnosed with. The Bible gives us the diagnosis for every single one who's been born into this world with a sinful nature, a bad heart, and a bad record. And we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to come to Him. Come here, you who that mourn for sin. You who are lame and diseased with iniquity. There is power still present in the dying Savior to heal you, whatever your disease may be. The costly ointment of His atonement has lost none of its power. Jesus, the great physician, works cures very suddenly. He touches, and the deed is done at once. He works cures of all kinds. All soul diseases have been readily overcome by Him. He never fails. He has not in His diary one single case that was an overmatching for His mighty power. He heals effectively. The disease never again reigns once it has been dethroned. He has no hospital for incurable diseases or incurable patients, for there is no one who is incurable to Him. The friend of sinners is able to save to the utmost those that come to God by Him. Cases of sin so putrid that men might say, put them away, put them out of sight. Vice is so detestable that the very mention of it makes the cheek of modesty to blush. Such as these, the Master's hand, Emmanuel, can heal. With Jesus, nothing is difficult. He can save the chief of sinners and the vilest of the vile. Come, poor sinner, and behold Him who is able to heal you of your deadly disease, of your deadly wounds. Come, look now and live. That's what we need to do tonight. If you're outside of Christ, what you need to do is come to this one who can heal you. And finally, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ need to come to Him and appreciate His heart and His compassion for us as well. There's no matter, no problem, nothing whatsoever that we can't bring to the Lord Jesus Christ that He won't care about. Nothing that we can't bring, and nothing that won't touch His heart and sympathy and compassion. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same Lord Jesus Christ. And He's touched with our griefs, with our sorrows. We can bring it all, we can tell it all to Him. We need to come to Him and tell Him It seems so simple, right? Just tell it to Jesus. Bring it to Him. Tell Him all about it. How often do we go through times of depression and anxiety and misery and all kinds of being overwhelmed and everything when we simply fail to just tell it to the Lord Jesus Christ? He cares. He cares about every hurt we have, every sorrow, every sickness that we experience, every kind of disappointment we have. All of our sins, every single sin that we struggle with, that we may fall again and again into, He cares. He's be able to be touched by it. Every fear we have, even if it seems foolish, He cares about it. Every anxiety that we have, every dread of what might happen in the future, He cares. We need to bring it to Him. Every problem we have, problem with our children, problem with a marriage, any kind of problem we have, bring it to Jesus. He cares. Every grief, tell it to Him. Bring it to Him. He cares. He can help. He cares for us. Think about those things tonight. When we think about, you may read over this account at time of the Lord Jesus Christ and His first miracle of healing. It was truly a miracle, but not to, for us to be satisfied there, but to see the Lord Jesus Christ in that miracle and see His willingness to save sinners and to help sinners like us who need His care and need His help. Let's pray. Father, we praise and thank You for Your word, and we praise and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, our great Savior, the great Savior of sinners, even the chief of sinners. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would take this word and open blind eyes and deaf ears and even cause us to hear it afresh, Your word, for the afresh and anew as if we've heard it for the first time for our own selves tonight, Father. We just pray that You'd bless Your word. We do thank You for Your goodness in sending Your Son. We thank You and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.